Deja, there you're sitting on some cards, and if you need a pen, raise your hand if you don't have anything to draw on. Jen, can you help Deja pass that stuff out? Make sure everybody gets an index card, and if they need a pen, I know you say, if I knew I had to work at church, I wouldn't come today. Make sure everybody gets a card and something to write with if they need it. One of my favorite flowers are daisies, and I thought the daisies were only white and yellow. How many of you all know that daisies come in many colors? Especially in the Southwest, we see a whole lot of daisies, and they're drought tolerant, and if you have some in your yard, they're going to come up whether you want them or not. And I kind of love it because they are midsummer flowers. When everything else has died off, daisies start popping up everywhere. Now, I live on Orange Street, and I happen to live next to somebody who has a home and garden yard. And I'll say that again. I live next to somebody who has a home and garden yard. That is an immaculate yard. Their grass is green already and cut. And the flowers that are supposed to come up are coming up. And all the gophers are eating up my stuff because they don't dare go to their yard. The good thing about this is these people are in their 80s. And as I'm looking from the kitchen window, thinking about all the things that I should do and watching them to make sure that they don't fall down and they can't get up, I said, wouldn't it be nice for my yard to be just like that? I'd like to talk to you today about living on Straight Street. Living on Straight Street. We will find Straight Street in Acts, the 9th chapter, where Saul is taken after he has his encounter on the road to Damascus. I'm kind of congested, so I'll be doing that. Listen, what I want you to do, if you have your card, wave your card like you just don't care. All right. Well, you're going to draw a daisy. So what you need to do is draw a circle, not a real big circle, because daisies have petals. You're going to need to draw petals also. So draw your circle. And this circle signifies who you are. And those petals will pour into who you are. You will define your own petals and how many petals you have as we go through the sermon today. So if I had one, that petal would define for me my arc of safety, places that I feel in control of because of the petals and stuff. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Well, I am, but stay with me just a little while, okay? My arc of safety and stuff, so you know what you're doing and stuff. So outside the petals, like one of my petals would be conviction, what I believe in. Another one of my petals would be culture, who I am. Can't get away from that. Another one would be, oh, particularly in this time, in this age, politics that pours into who I am, where I feel safe, where I feel in control. And maybe family and whatever. So when you think of something and you want to fill in a petal, go ahead and fill in a petal. Listen, my text is from and can't get away from it. Pastor was talking about it last week. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. I'm going to start reading to you from the 10th verse to the 13th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the dark ages, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We do not fight against flesh and blood. In the last year, have you found yourself fighting against flesh and blood? All right, that's one person that's not lying in church. I'm going to ask again so y'all might not go to hell or something like that. Listen, have you found yourself fighting against flesh and blood? I just want to make sure I'm at the right church at the right time, okay? I have found myself fighting against flesh and blood. And it's from those pedals. Because they threaten my safety and they threaten my control. Did you know that you are a person that wants to be in control all the time? Don't look at nobody. Because you might be sitting right next to somebody that you were thinking of. So look straight ahead and just say, amen. Okay, all right, okay. That you are a person who wants to be in control. And who does not want to be in control, even if you're not in control? Man, if you're married, you know the best thing that you could say to your wife? They are trained. They are trained. They are trained. Women, do you know the best thing that you could say to your husbands? Oh, okay. All right. Two different things. I'm just checking. I didn't know the answer myself. Sometimes I just do this. Because if you just go dumb, they'll sniff you and leave you alone. Okay. That has worked one time. Okay. Listen, last week, Pastor Pat was talking about circumstantial evidence in Philippians, the 1st chapter, from the Fretterless series. And he's talking about Saul/Paul, who had joy from prison in Rome, writing these letters that we're studying. He had joy from prison in Rome. So I started thinking, you know, how can you have joy in prison from Rome, especially if you know people want to kill you and they're going to kill you and it's just your future to be killed for the name of Christ and stuff. And I don't know about you, but many times in my Christian walk, I have asked myself or just asked God, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to love people just like Jesus. Love people. I want to treat people just like Jesus treated people. You do? Okay, well, all right, well, hold on to your seatbelt, because you're about to get something. And we want to do that, but then God gives us the chance and the opportunity, and, you know, I don't know about you, stuff that comes out of my mouth just ain't like Jesus. Because I'm fighting against the flesh. I'm not fighting in the spirit. I'm not having on the whole armor of God. Because it's heavy. There are a lot of pieces. And sometimes I go out with a sword, the sword of the word. Because that's kind of easy. You know, just come with the word, they'll leave you alone. Say lovey. But God wants us to put on the whole armor all the time in every situation. Pastor Pat told us two things. that we wrestle together standing strong. Wrestling together standing strong. So in last year, I kind of figured out that God was up to something in my own life when he put me in situations with people that I would not pick. Y'all understand what I'm saying? All right. That blessed me, that showed me the image and the likeness of God, that showed me what it is to be like Jesus, and hopefully vice versa. But because of the time and the circumstances, I didn't really understand what God was doing. And through those relationships, I was made strong through those relationships. So, now what does a daisy have to do with Straight Street? You might ask. I'm glad you asked me. So, did everybody here grow up on a street? Because, you know, when I assume that, somebody will say, and just blow my thing right out the water, okay? So I'm assuming that everybody grew up on a street or has a favorite street. And we're going to call it Straight Street. So just point right straight. Do it with your hands. Y'all got hands? Okay, it's your top paws. Okay, there you go. All right, Straight Street. This is the place that was comfortable to you, that you found security in, that you dream about sometime or remember sometime. Straight Street, where everything was all right, no matter what your circumstance or your situation were. You can remember, and I hate to say this, but some of you all always say this, the good old. Don't be afraid, you say it all the time. Now, I'm giving you a chance to say it out loud, but you won't say it. The good old. Yes, if you could just go back to the good old days. I don't want to go back to the good old days because some of those days weren't good. Hello? Are y'all sure now? Okay, some of those days just weren't good. But there was some place in those good old days, that was Straight Street. You okay with Straight Street? So I'm sitting here in Damascus at the Goat Park. This is where the city people bring their goats to run around and do goat yoga and got to pick up the goat droppings and stuff and things like that. And just, you know, because we're in the city, you know, goats just can't run around and do whatever they do. Bah, what do goats do anyway? They don't bat, they don't bark. Huh? Ma, okay. You know, and disturb the people and stuff. So I'm at the goat park, right on Straight Street. And I'm looking across, and I'm in chapter 9 of Acts. Let me read to you. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters for him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way. Let me stop there. This is chapter 9, and they don't call them Christians until chapter 11. 12. I believe 12. So, I might say Christian. And if I say Christian, you say, don't call me that. Let's practice. Christian? Okay. Because it was a derogatory, insulting term. Christian. Y'all for, woo, baby. Christian, don't call me that. Okay, all right, we're going to do it one more time. Christian, don't call me that. Okay, here we go. So that he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was 170 miles from Damascus. That's a long way for you to intentionally go in those days. There were no Ubers. There were no trains. There were no parking rides. And he journeyed. He came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he trembled and astonished and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." I find that kind of interesting. He can't see it, and God's telling him, get up and go to the city. Think he might need help? Hello? Just checking. I'm just checking. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Doesn't say it yet, but he's going to be on Straight Street. Straight Street goes straight through Damascus. It's one of those big avenues and stuff where everybody can go everywhere, somewhere in Damascus. And in Damascus, it's kind of segregated. They have the Muslim quarter. They have the Roman quarter. They have the Jewish quarter. And they have the Christian quarter. Don't be afraid. What'd you say? Yeah, don't call me that. But they were not named Christians. They did not take on that name yet because it was an insult. It was degrading. I want you to think about that as you draw your flower. It wasn't what we boast about being today. Or was it? A lot of times we have derogatory terms for people, and they own it, and they take it. And it doesn't hurt when they say it to one another or each other about, because it has a different sense about it. I want you to understand that with Christianity and stuff, we've gone through a period of time where we felt persecuted and stuff, and people were calling us Christians, like, "You're acting like those Christians," and said, "Well, yeah, because I am one." when you say Christian, that's what you're, and the opposite has happened too. You're not acting like a Christian. Check your daisy. Because sometimes our culture, sometimes what we think is our conviction, sometimes our politics drive up and out who we really are and how we feel. So this dude, Saul, was doing all this in the name of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was going up to Damascus and putting his neck on the way, or Christians. Y'all scared? I'm glad that you're really not answering that, because sometimes we have to think what it means to be a Christian and where our history comes as Judeo-Christians and what was going on at that particular time. So Saul is going to go in, and he's going to put his foot down, and he's going to take some of these Christians back to Jerusalem. So I'm sitting here on Straight Street, and I'm looking across the goat park and stuff, because there is a house with a dude that lives there. His name is Judas. It's a common name. But Judas is kind of planning the neighborhood, and he kind of looks around and sees who's a Christian or who's really Jewish and stuff. Because, you know, you look at them, you can't tell until Sabbath day. Because, you know, those Christians are worshiping on the first day of the week and stuff. And they had these songs and stuff, and they're talking about this Jesus. You know what? It is 36 years after Jesus' crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. We need to really get over that. And we thought, you know, that we would squash this thing, but they're still doing it. They're still doing it. To each his own. All ways lead to God. Kumbaya. Let's all be together. So Judas is there, and you know, don't call me nosy, but I'm usually in the goat park without a goat. Just checking it out, because, you know, you need to know what's going on in the neighborhood. And we've heard that Saul was coming, and he was going to take some people back to Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, but my straight street also includes Jerusalem. And 40 years ago, I was there when all these things happened. So you know what? This stuff is kind of for real. I got my gold bag and my sword and stuff behind me just in case this Saul comes upon us. But I'm looking, and I'm not being nosy, okay? Because you know when your blinds go and stuff and people, your curtains go past and stuff like that, you're just being cautious. And I'm looking at this place where Judas lives, and it's a whole lot of commotion and stuff. And they're taking this guy in, and it's been 3 days now. And something's going on. I don't know, but the rumor is that's Saul, and he's blind. Could you let me say it? Let's get him. Because that's the good Christian thing to do, isn't it? We got him right where we want him. But God had him right where he wanted him. And further on in this chapter, God does this. I probably shouldn't ask you this because it's probably personal. Does God speak to you? Does he speak to you? Because all during this chapter, is saying how God speaks to us. Look at your daisy. Can God speak to you through your daisy? Because that's kind of who you are, and that's kind of how he speaks. So he speaks to a disciple, a follower of Jesus, the way, sometimes called a Christian. He tells Barnabas, this is what I want you to do. I want you to call Pizza Hut and have them deliver some food over to Judas's house. I want you to go to Smith's and get a card that says, be healed, and have that sent over. He doesn't say that. He says, listen, Barnabas, I want you to go over and lay hands on Paul, and he's going to receive his sight. And I don't know about you, but that's like sleeping with the enemy, that you would ask me to do that. This is the biggest dude that's out there, and he's killing Christians. I know, I've seen it. I've had cousins and stuff killed by him, but this is what I want you to do. And this is all happening in front of me on Straight Street, on my place of comfort, on my place of safety, God is shaking some things up. After being around a year or so, has God shaken some things up in your life? The hardest thing that I think that he's done for me is that Amazon Prime was not 2 days. Amazon Prime was not 2 days. Amazon Prime promised to be 2 days. Sometimes when I've gone to Smith's, both Smith's, there was no toilet paper. Or paper towels. We had to use the reserve. Yeah. We had to do that. Sometimes I had to stand in line at the pharmacy. I still got my medicine, but I had to stand in line. Sometimes I had to stand in line to get into the store. And it was cold. It was windy. Okay. Well, we don't even do that anymore. But that was the hardest thing in our life. Imagining not seeing because you were doing what you thought God told you to do. And hearing the voice of God. And having your whole life turned around. That messes up Straight Street, doesn't it? Now, the short of the story is that Ananias did exactly what God told him to do. Exactly. And because he did that, we read the epistles and most of the New Testament. We have instructions for life because of what happened to him on Straight Street. Now, it wasn't his desire for that to happen. What happened to the campaign to bring a bunch of Christians back to Jerusalem and stuff? In fact, as soon as he got his sight, what did he want to do? Go preach to the people that he was going to kill. Paul had something missing up here. He wasn't going with all his luggage. You understand? Go preach to the people that he wanted to kill. Go to a situation, a circumstance that was beyond you, that you really needed God. That you had an experience with God that would see you through. It would not be on your own merit. And can you imagine sitting in that synagogue, the synagogue of Calvary Chapel, and Saul walks in with Ananias, and Ananias is doing this. Y'all sit down, okay? All right? Put your guns up. Put your guns back in your purse. Okay? He's okay. And he gets up, and he talks about how he saw Jesus, and we sitting there with our calculator saying you couldn't possibly have seen Jesus and stuff like that, and how he is the Son of God and how he saved him and this experience that he has and that he loves you. And Barnabas has to get up and say, he's finished, and take him all out, because you know what? There is no fellowship after that. There's just this. Because he's messed with my Straight Street. On Straight Street, Saul became Paul and found God and found his purpose in life. So through this period of time that we've been in, have we found purpose? I don't know why I thought about the daisy. I mean, that's a godsend for me to explain who I think I am and to help me with the question about being more like Jesus in times like these. But not to fight against flesh and blood, but to know that there are principalities and powers at work all around us. Especially us, if we believe in who Jesus is, because time and circumstances are pointing us away from that. And to be able to stand in that situation, especially when things aren't going the way that you think they should go, because that sounds like control to me. Not to you, not that you would have any control over the situation. Now, you got control over whether you go to McDonald's today and get a cheeseburger or a fish sandwich or whatever like that, but you can't control what your neighbor believes, but you can influence them by being the image of Christ to them. If you know what that means, because you got to look at your daisy. So, when I looked at my daisy, it said conviction, culture, politics, history. I also added this: family in blood and family in love. Family in blood and family in love. Some of us are family by blood, and some of us are family by love. Hello? Family in blood and family in love. Something else I found out during this pandemic is that I have family in love and I have family in blood. I have family, if they don't see me, they come and they get me. You got to answer the door with pants on. Why are you self-identifying? You got to answer the door with pants on. Family in blood and family in love. It forms the nucleus and the safety, the comfort, and in some sense, control. Everyone wants to be in control, as Saul wanted to be in control when he thought he was going to Damascus, but God interrupted that. Have you had God interrupt some stuff in your life in the last year? I mean interrupt. I'm shutting this thing down. Not just on Straight Street, but everywhere else. I will shut this thing down. And I don't know, you know, and it's up to you whether you think that this is a God event or not. But I've never seen anything like it. I've heard about it. But now that I've experienced it, I have to say that God is in control, and it's not me. And as I look at my daisy, I have to ask myself this. And it comes from 1 John 4:20. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? Could have left that out, right? I'm going to say it again. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And 3 John 11 says this, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So Ananias touched Saul. Saul realized who Jesus was. Spent the rest of his existence encouraging, edifying the church. And in three chapters, Saul right to call them Christians. And they're still doing it today. What are you? 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 Sure? What am I? Hungry? Yeah, just checking. Listen, Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your loving kindness. We thank you for the streets in our life that have been safe for us. Streets in our life that have caused us to be nurtured. The streets in our life that have given us some kind of control. But those streets belong to you. It's because of your grace that is sufficient for everything that we need today, that we sit here. And God, because of that grace, we want to give you just a moment to say thank you for that grace. Thank you for that grace that helps us endure circumstances. Circumstances maybe not similar to what Saul/Paul went through. Not his conversion, but his conviction. God, give us that conviction in our life, on our straight street. Help us determine in our heart how our daisy look. And in the middle of that daisy, no matter what the petals look like, let them point us to you. So that when people see us in our convictions, in our politics, in our culture, in our families, in those who we love and who are our blood, and those who are not, that they will see the image and likeness of God, no matter what the circumstances are saying. God, we put our trust and our hope in you today. Constantly remind us that you have us in the palm of your hand and that you are in control. Keep us on straight street and cause us to remember, even when we look across the street and see that everything is going wrong, that you have us in the palm of your hand. And God, we just don't want to ask that. We want to be able to confess that out of our mouths. Bless us as we leave this place today and continue in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.